Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Romans chapter 8. We'll begin, please, with verse 18. We'd like to continue through verse 27. The point to Romans chapter 8 is established in verse 37, that we may be more than conquerors. We're trying to be super conquerors. Now, we have seen that this comes by the grace of God and the reign of grace. When grace reigns, then we reign in life. But there are terrific powers that keep us from life and keep us participating in death. The first great obstacle that we have, of course, is our flesh. That spiritual thing within us, that ethical force that gives us our great moral conflict, so that we cannot do the things that we would. We contend with our flesh. The moral, spiritual problem of sin. In addition to that, we have the physical problem. Not only the spiritual problem, but the physical one. And that is, we frankly are living in the kind of reality that we're living in, and we bump into some hard facts. We suffer. We have some pain. So how can you be more than a conqueror? How can you be a super conqueror amidst the kind of reality that we're living in, and especially since it's not been fully redeemed? Well, that's the problem, and Paul is going to address himself to that, beginning with verse 18, as he tackles this great important subject of suffering. Now, I don't believe you can be a super conqueror if you have your eyes closed. We're not escape artists. We don't go off into metaphysical or philosophical schemes that don't account for the whole of reality. And that means some stresses. That means pain, and that means death. How can we cope with that? How can you really be a super conqueror and still live in the kind of a world that we're experiencing? Well, one of the answers is given in the passage that we're about to read. We're calling this sermon the triple groan, and we're going to see that one of the solutions is in the third groan. The problem is the first two groans, and a part of the solution is in the third groan. All right, let's share, please, with verse 18. I consider that the sufferings of this present time, now we've seen how important that phrase is in Romans. It's a contrast between this present time and the age to come, the age of glory. I consider that the sufferings, are they real? Yes, they're here, of this present time. They're not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Creation was subjected to futility. Notice that, please. Creation was subjected to futility. That's where we get the doctrine of emptiness. The word means it's empty. It's futile. It's vain. It's been subjected to that, given over to futility. But now notice, not of its own will, but by the will of Him, God, who subjected it in hope. That's an important point. A futile creation, but subjected in hope, with hope written into it. Because creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now we know that the whole creation has been groaning. That's the first groan. It's groaning in travail together until right now, this very moment. Now, the second groan, not only creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, and only the first fruits, by the way, it's very important to note, the earnest of the Spirit. We also groan. We groan inwardly as we await for adoption as sons, explained as the resurrection or the redemption of our bodies. Now, in this hope, we are saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. In other words, if you're experiencing something or possessing it or seeing it, you're not anticipating it or hoping for it. For who hopes for what he sees? You'd no longer hope for something you have. But if we hope for what we do not see, do not experience, do not possess fully in experience, and that is our completed redemption. We only have the earnest of it. We wait for it with patience. But now how can we wait for it with patience? Well, the solution follows. Likewise, you're to make a parallel and an illustration from what we've just read to the third groom. Likewise, in the same manner, on the same principles, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, our needs, our infirmities. We don't know how even to pray as we ought. We don't understand ourselves. We don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with sighs, the same word, with groans. It's the third groan. The Spirit does it with groans. He groans too, with groans too deep for words. And He, God, who searches the hearts of men, He knows what is the mind of the Spirit that indwells the human heart, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So this is the triple groan. And the third one is one of the solutions as to how we can be super conquerors amidst the kind of reality that we all experience. Now it's very obvious to us that the first groan is creation, and creation is groaning. And the best commentary on it is read in Tooth and Claw. Everywhere you look in creation, what we call the chain of life has become a chain of death. The big fish eat the little fish. And so it goes on up. The chain of life has become a chain of death. Before the fall and the advent of sin, animals were not carnivorous. They were not given over to feeding on one another. But the entrance of sin has caused it to groan. And we talked on other occasions how that all creation is in the minor key. If you record the sounds of nature, it's in a minor chord. It's waiting to come back to rest to the dominant chord. Everything you do has a way of turning to dust and ashes. Eventually it's going to be eaten up by rust. And I tell you, it's a tremendous commentary on creation and human life to travel around the world and see all the great civilizations that have fallen basically to decay and to corruption. Everything you put your hand to seems to be possessed, as it were, by death. So creation is groaning. It's caught up in this travail, as it were, in the pain and in the suffering. It's just everywhere present. Now, we're participating in that as a part of creation. Even though we're also a part of the new creation, we're caught up in this conflict, and we also groan. We groan too, the apostle says. We groan inwardly. Now we groan, I think, basically for two reasons. The first is obvious, that we're living in physical, unredeemed bodies. Our bodies are not redeemed. They are touched occasionally by redemption, in the sense that the divine healing touch can quicken us, which I think is a foretaste of the resurrection body. But here and now, our bodies are still subject to decay and all these processes. You get cuts on them. You get calluses. You get aching backs. You get things that go wrong. You're living in an unredeemed body. And as we have also pointed out, you are also contending with an unredeemable flesh. The flesh is unredeemable. The only thing you can do is not walk in it and crucify it, but it's there. And so we have this kind of a problem that we're dealing with. In addition to that, we have the great problem of, let's just for a basic word call it, ignorance. And by that, I really mean an uncertainty about what kind of beings we are, particularly when it comes to our unconscious processes, down in this area that's too deep for words, this area that's unexpressible. We have an uncertainty about our life. Most of us are mysteries to ourselves. And what's to happen when you have a broken emotional or mental life? How can it really be repaired, and how can you cope with that? Solomon realized how difficult it was to face up to emotional and spiritual personal problems. Over in one of his Proverbs, he says, "A man's spirit will endure sickness, but a broken spirit, who can bear?" Give me a good old headache anytime. I don't mind them at all. Rather than those internal conflicts those conflicts inside, deep within us that we can't get at. And I really believe that we cannot directly affect our emotional life. It only comes along in the train of things. You cannot directly control your feelings. They're beyond your control. And that's true of many of our actions. To will is present with us. How to perform that which is good we cannot find. We're mysteries to ourselves. And we have this psychological depths to us. And I know that we're in trouble in our depths. I'm in great sympathy with depth psychology that says that man in the depths of his being is in trouble. And we're acting out all these unconscious processes that you can't even express, you don't even understand. That's what Paul is getting at here when he talks about our hearts, our inner life. We don't know how to pray for us, even to pray as we ought. We don't know what to pray for at times. And then we pray amiss. And it causes us to groan, causes all kinds of problems to attend our way personally, emotionally, psychologically. Someone wrote me a letter this week. I'm reading it, of course, with permission. This person said, I see that I have guilt beyond my farthest imagination inside of me. I even feel guilty when I'm not even involved. I feel guilty for everyone else. You'd think I was the Messiah, the person says. She says, and that's not funny. Of course it's not. So we have these difficulties that attend our way, living our lives out in these physical bodies that are subject to death and corruption, and also living our lives out in the problems that attend our hearts, as it were. Well, what a problem we have. Now, how can you be more than a conqueror? How can you be a super conqueror and live in the kind of body you're living in and the kind of unredeemed reality you're living in, this kind of world? How can you still have peace and be more than a conqueror? Thank God the solution is in the third groan. I know creation is groaning, and I know that I'm groaning. And by the way, I have very little use for a gospel that doesn't preach a groan in it. If you don't see a cross embedded at the heart of our faith, if this thing is just like tripping the light, fantastic, something's wrong with your kind of gospel. We're talking about a kind of reality we live in that causes pain and suffering and involves us in death. In one way, my Christian life has been one long groan. Does that mean that we're defeated, that we're passive? On the contrary, it doesn't mean that whatever. Because you see, God the Holy Ghost is also groaning too amidst all these very difficult circumstances that we're living in. He groans right along with us. It's a very sympathetic groan. We're asked to identify with Jesus in his sufferings. As a matter of fact, it's a rather strong condition. We are heirs provided we suffer with him in order that we might be also glorified with him. Likewise, the Spirit also suffers with us. Now, it's one thing to suffer with Jesus. I tell you, it's another thing to know that Jesus is suffering with you. Let's call that the groan of the Christ within us. As long as Jesus Christ is groaning too, I tell you, I can be a super conqueror. I can be more than a conqueror because I know that he's groaning right along with me. Now, I don't understand how that works out altogether, but I do know that it makes a difference. I know when I went to see Adela this week in the hospital, she says, oh, I know everything will be all right now that you're here and you just know. Well, I was just sitting in a chair. I just went down to sit by her. But Adela says, now that you're here and you know. So it's something to know that God, the creator of the universe, who subjected the world in hope, has come among us and he also has taken up our groaning. Likewise, the Spirit also groans. He intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. He suffers with us. He understands our lot. He's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Now, many times we ask the question, why? Why, Lord, has this happened? Why is that happening? Why am I going through this? Why don't I get an answer to my prayer? I tell you, I don't have an answer to all those whys. I don't have any glib answers anyway. But as long as I know that a why came roaring out of the throat of the Lord Jesus Christ, I tell you, it gives me a compassion and a sympathy and a comfort to know that Jesus also said why right in the midst of all my suffering. And if God Himself can say why in my boots, as it were, I tell you, I can be a super conqueror. But I think the most beautiful thing about this groan of the Spirit is not only is it a sympathetic groan, it's a groan identified completely with us as He has entered into our creation and taken His place with us. But this groan also is a highly successful groan. You see, we don't know how we should pray as we ought. I don't know what to ask for in the depths of my emotional subconscious life. But thank God, in the depths of my being, in the area where it really counts, the Holy Spirit of God has taken possession of my being. And there in my depth, He groans according to the will of God. I tell you, I'm right on target. I'm moving in the direction of glory. I'm not headed only for suffering. That suffering is leading me right on target to glory. I can't understand all the things that are happening to me, but the Holy Spirit of God, who's the author and the bishop of my soul, is moving me right in the direction of the will of God. I will not live then by these things. I will not draw my energy from these lies round about me. Rather, I know that the Holy Ghost is causing me to be a super conqueror. As a matter of fact, these things that are happening to me are turning out for a testimony. They are redounding to the glory of God. None of these things can be against me. Do I suffer? Of course I do. I groan. I have pain. I have conflicts. But thank God, there's a deeper way that lets me embrace that way of the cross and know that by the Holy Spirit of God, I'm right on target. You know, it's a great important truth to know that the things that are happening to you are falling out for your advancement, because the Holy Spirit is groaning within you according to the will of God. Aren't you glad to know that God Himself prays according to His will as He searches your hearts and your emotional life? And there, down in a way that you can't understand or interpret, there's the Holy Spirit of God at work way down in the depths of your being and causing you to move off to glory. So what are you going to live by then? Are you going to live by these things that cause you to go up and down and vacillate and move you all around? Are all of these things going to move you? Or like Paul, are you going to say, none of these things move me? Because I know that the Holy Ghost of God is working in me and praying right according to His will. Now the world is designed, I think, in every way to avoid pain and suffering. In the most significant way, though, for this, as far as this sermon is concerned, it's called defensiveness. I don't like to suffer. I want to avoid pain in the natural. My carnal mind would like to avoid pain and suffering. And so I become defensive. What is defensiveness? It's just a self-protective device that won't let you enter into pain and suffering, where you become critical of others, and when you begin to blame others, and you won't get involved with others. It's a protective device, and it's the way of the world. It is not the way of the cross. We have a way of absorbing that cross to us, and that can only be taught to us, I believe, by the Spirit, where that suffering becomes redeemable, as it were, and it falls out for our glory and works together for our good. And so we enter into suffering. We know that the Holy Spirit has entered into our suffering. It's by this third groan that we become super conquerors. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Do we live in this reality with eyes wide open? Indeed we do. Do we groan? Indeed we do. Are we defeated? We are not. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Do we have to be defensive about pain and suffering? No, we don't. By the way of the cross, we absorb it. We welcome it. We receive it unto ourselves only to be transformed and redeemed by the way of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, why, they're just not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in me. And so I've got my eye on that celestial city. Do I have to rake the muck down here? No, I don't. Not as long as I'm seeing the celestial city. I've got that gleam in my eye, that faraway look. Do any of these things move me? Oh, no, they don't. Not when seen in proper perspective and knowing that the Holy Ghost is deep at work in my life, in my subconscious life, groaning within me with inexpressible sighs to the Lord. I might add, by the way, that none of these groans are the death rattle, because the Word is the birth pang. Creation is in pain, but it's a birth pang. I'm in pain, but it's a birth pang. I'm just anticipating to give birth, as it were, to that glorious inheritance that belongs to the children of God. So the Holy Spirit is groaning with us. I can make it as long as I know about the third groan. When I hear the awful anguish of nature and creation and society, and when I hear my own inner pain, thank God, I can also hear a third groan. It's the groan of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's identified with us in our predicament. And he's bringing us to the glorious liberty of the children of God. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father, we really truly want to be super conquerors. We want to live life with patience. We want to be steadfast. We want to be grounded. We want to be established, not tossed about by every little wind of doctrine and experience. And so often, Lord, we draw our energies from these things round about us. It's these things that take their stand about us, these circumstances that cause us to be so moved. But Lord, we're praying that we won't be moved by our physical man, by our emotional life, our subconscious life. We're going to be moved only by the truth of the Spirit of God. Lord, we with patience can wait for this redemption, full redemption, to catch up with us if we'll just know that God himself is groaning with us. He's not only groaning sympathetically, but he's also groaning successfully, as he has written hope into our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that it's not a death rattle. It's a birth pang. We're about to give birth, Lord, to the new creation. Our spirits, Lord, are sometimes in conflict as we feel the tug of the first fruits of the Spirit. They keep calling us up higher. We know that we're made for better things. But Lord, we pray that during this present time, we'll be grounded, established, right in the midst of it all. We'll still be super conquerors through him that loved us. Lord, don't let us be defensive then about the pain. Let us redeem it and transform it and turn it all to a testimony. Lord, we know that we're assigned to suffering, and unless we suffer with you, we cannot be glorified. And so, Lord, forgive us because in our worldly way, we have thought not to involve ourselves with pain and suffering of others and with the sins of the world. But, Lord, we've tried to escape it. So, Lord, we're going to take our stand with you in the way of the cross today. But we can only do that if the Holy Spirit will say that it's leading us to glory. So, Lord, will you come and talk to our hearts now through this word and through this message? Speak to us, Lord, in the way you want to. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.